I don't usually do series. I don't plan series, but this is actually part two to my last message, The Rest of the Way. If you missed part one, it's okay, because I'm going to review in about 5 minutes. And this, I really believe, is an amazing message of hope. I felt like the last message I preached was one of the most important messages I've ever preached. I'm not saying it was my best. I'm not saying it was most powerful, but it was the most important. It's something we don't hear about the promises of God. We've all known people that have had prophetic words and promises that go unfulfilled. It's true. But we need to establish something. It's never God. We need to let that sink in. We talk about it. Promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. And a prophecy and a promise is an invitation. Jesus spoke. They came. But not all were changed. Standing in front of Pontius. And he says, what is truth? One breath away from the very embodiment of truth. And he walks out unchanged. So if you think sitting in church changes you, it does not. If you think listening to podcasts, it doesn't. You can hear and hear and hear. Jesus says, to him who has ears to hear, meaning to receive. He's not just talking about physical sight, physical hearing. There's a spiritual world. We have a natural man. Pastor Lena talked about it last week. We have a spiritual man. Our spiritual man needs to receive. And I believe in the coming waves and the coming revivals, the people that are picky and prejudiced and judged won't receive from people where God has the vessel. Because sometimes God has a clay vessel for you. It was a widow running out of food, and I commanded her already. But when he gets there, she didn't even know he was coming. Wrong widow. I already commanded her, and that situation hasn't changed yet. I've already commanded that situation to change. So the name of this message is simply, don't settle there. Don't settle there. And I'm going to read you a scripture. It says Terah was Abraham's dad. Took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans. So he was in Chaldea. That's who he was. To go to Canaan. Sound familiar? That's the land where God wanted Abram. That's the land of Israel today. Part of that is Israel. He promised that land. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah died in Haran. But they settled there. So we're going to talk about the walls, the man that was laid at the gate beautiful. We're going to talk about not having those hindrances. But this is not a message about just settling where you're at. This is a message about when those things begin to break in your life, you go around the wall, through the gate, over the pool, that you don't settle there. Because it's going to be better than your life now, because it's the land of good enough. And so when you don't receive something for a long time and all of a sudden you enter into something, it's very tempting to settle there. He was going to Canaan. Now, this is before Google and internet and stuff. So Canaan had Canaanites. It was just easier to settle here. See, the problem is when you settle there, it becomes you're here. And you're here never becomes over there. So you can't settle there because it comes here. And people settle in their life and they never fulfill the promises of God, even though it was better from where they came out. He saved them out of drugs and they've settled here. But it's not to what he's called them to do. They never wrote the book. They never preached a sermon. They never took a mission trip because it was better than that. It was the land of good enough. So don't settle there. We cannot be people that just settle there. Because you're there becomes you're here. And when you're here, it never becomes over there. And God's calling. He's calling. He's calling us higher. But they've settled there. Abram's dad, God put it in his heart to go to Canaan because I want my son Abram in Canaan. But he died. And after he died, then he spoke to everything in you that wants to settle must die before God could speak. Another word, it must die. Everything about comfortable and nice and good. There's people that don't want to excel the promises of God. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people that just don't want to settle there. And you're there cannot become a here. This prayer service, this meeting, this anointing, this person, this, we can never settle there. Amen? So I'm going to read the story again of the man laid by the gate beautiful, because I'm going to review for those that missed it. One afternoon, Peter and John were going up to the temple, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. In the Jewish culture, they had 3 hours of prayer. One was at 9, one was at noon, one was at 3. And it was at 3:00. And so they grabbed Jesus in the morning because there was a morning sacrifice. And he died in the evening because there's an evening sacrifice. And it was the time of the Passover. It was a separate lamb for the morning, a separate lamb for the evening, and a separate lamb for Passover. But friends, Jesus is the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, and the Passover lamb in one. He's everything you need today. He's in one. Jesus was the morning. He was the evening. They grabbed him in the morning. He's the morning sacrifice. He gave up his spirit in the evening, and it was the time of the Passover. Jesus is every sacrifice rolled into one. Amen? He's everything you need. There's a scarlet cord that runs through this Bible. If you avoid Jesus, then you can't preach. It doesn't mean you need to mention his name because he's weaved into everything. He was prophesied in Genesis. He's speaking in Revelation. He was the fourth man in the fire. He wrestled with Jacob. He was in the burning bush. Jesus was everything. He was the morning. He was the evening. What are you saying, John? He's everything you need today, and there's nothing else you need that's outside him. So they went. It was the third, and it was the third time of the day they prayed. There was a morning prayer, an afternoon prayer. This was the last prayer of the day. You don't know when you're praying what will be the last prayer before you receive it. No one told Daniel 21 days. See, we read it. Daniel prayed for 21 days. No one told Daniel, if you pray for 21 days, day 19, he didn't know it was going to be day 21, Kirk. Day 20, he didn't know, but then day 21, I had to battle. So it was the third time that Peter and John came. It was the third time that prayer. The morning prayer, there they came in. They're going through the temple. The man was lame from his birth. He was at the gate beautiful. And last time we talked about, so many people were at the promises of God. Two men carried him at the gate. And two men carried him, gave him hope that's in. Here's the truth. Grace and mercy can bring you to the promises of God. And they sit you down. Grace and mercy. You did nothing. I was talking to a prophetic person, a man. He ministers. And he says, I prophesied over this man one time. And a lady after the service goes, you missed it on him. He's the town drunk. He didn't say what he told her, but I know what I would have said. Grace and mercy, you have to do nothing to receive it. It wasn't on his will. It wasn't on his goodness. So grace and mercy can bring you to the promises of God. But there he sat. There's people that come in here with no faith in God can get a prophetic word because of his grace and mercy. But they never walk in it because here comes two, faith and hope, Peter and John. See, faith and hope. Hope is joyful expectation. And they gave him the strength to get up so he can walk in the promises of God. So we're moving past just grace and mercy to carry you to something, but hope, faith and hope to carry you in something where you actually walk. Peter and John did not carry him in. I'm going to carry you to the promises. And I talked about my life. I talked about the promises of God of finances, just some of the things. And I'm not going to wake up one day and behind a desk as CEO. Pastor Allen, I'm rich now. Let's go to Vegas. Again. See, it's not going to happen. People can come in and they can prophesy finances. You write big checks and they've done it. But faith and hope, I need to believe it. And see, I need to receive it. And they said, look at me. We need to look at faith and hope again. See, there's more about faith than we understand. Faith is, the Bible says, standing under what you are joyfully expecting. And if you're not joyfully expecting anything, because I think our hope goes a lot of times before our faith. We confess, we say, but we're not joyfully expecting. So here the man is lame. Peter directly looked at him, as did John. Look at us. So the man gave them his attention. We need to give faith and hope our attention. Expecting to receive something from them that everybody else gave them. There he was, just begging. I'm dependent on what everybody else gives me. But faith and hope says, arise. You're dependent on God. He went in with them praising God. The Bible says his feet and his ankles were strengthened. He never walked before. But then he began to walk into a place he never was before. He was always at the gate. And many of us are at the promises. See, you've never walked in it before until you walk in it. You were never there until you went there. I was never in Mexico until I was in Mexico. I'm even talking Latin. So the words did not just bring me there. It just didn't. I didn't wake up, oh, I'm in Mexico. How did that happen? I know there's translation. You know, people get translated and stuff, and they get back. But you need to receive faith and hope. I don't want that. Do you have any money? I just want another sermon. Do you have another prophetic word? Do you have another encouragement? Everything I've lived on before. And there's nothing. And I believe in prophecy. I believe in encouragement. I heard some this weekend. I love it, love it, love it. But I know that if you don't receive it by faith, by hope, and faith is an action word. It's not just a reaction. It's an action word. If you did, then you will die like Abram's dad settling there. He was supposed to go to Canaan. He was supposed to bring his son to Canaan. It was in his heart, but the Bible says he settled there. So that's our message today. Don't settle there. As good as there is. Didn't talk about him fighting. Didn't talk about him battling. It just said he settled there, lived another couple hundred years, and people lived longer, and he died. They got saved. They went to church. They don't do drugs anymore. They're not in the bars, but they settled there. They used to be all friendly and have all kinds of friends, but when they get to church, they never tell anybody about Jesus. They just settled there. And there is a place where we need to die. Never let your there just become your here. Because, friends, this message is about good things are changing, are happening. And when they do, don't settle there. Keep walking in to the temple. Amen? So I want to break down the scripture I did last time because the Bible was not written in English. English is a very limited word. And I'm going to give you just an example. The Bible says, before I get to my scripture, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Seems like it's the same word in English, right? It's a different word in Greek. Every time it says tempted to a person, it's talking about enticed. Now, tempted sometimes can mean tested. When the Bible says God tempted him, it means he tested him. It's very different. But here it's enticed. That meaning is enticed. But when it talks to, in English, it's the same word. For God cannot be tempted. No. It's a different word. It's not the same word when he used in man. When tempted for God, it actually means lightly touched by evil. God cannot be touched by evil. Therefore, he doesn't. That's why Jesus said the rule of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Because he has nothing in me, then I cannot follow him. So when we have something in me, see, we're enticed by our own lust. So talk about man. So my point of this is the scripture, it says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. When you look at other verses in the Bible, that word mighty means strong, powerful. But that word mighty here is a different word. Therefore, it's a different word. It's a different meaning. In this verse, it does not mean mighty. In this verse, it means inaccessible, fenced in, or walled. I will call to me, and I will show you great and inaccessible things that you do not know. Things you've never walked into, like the man who was laid at the gate. Beautiful. They brought him. Grace and mercy would sit him down, and he was at the gate. And day in and day out, people would come in, and he saw them walking, but he never walked. When he was a little boy, he saw children playing, but he never played. But then when faith and hope came along, gave him strength, he started to walk in something he never walked in before. And it doesn't matter how many years or days you've never walked into something. When you begin to walk in something, now you do. I never walked into it until you did. I never preached. But I came here, I never preached a full sermon. People gave me 10, 15 minutes, and then, sit down. It was rare. I think I preached 2 15-minute messages, 1:30. But when I came here, Lena's like, and I was like all scared, And she kept encouraging me. But in the area of business, see, there's a wall. There was a wall in my life, and it's called fear of failure. So I'd get promises, but there was a wall. And it was inaccessible for me to make money. But then God showed me there's a wall. But my uncle and I, we used to build walls in California, San Juan Capistrano, and the homes were stucco. And we used to do miles of wall. The thing about a wall is they don't come up every night. The walls in your life, they didn't come up overnight. Every 8 foot, we had to put a column. And I remember my uncle, we had some Spanish workers, and, he sprayed on the ground. We went to lunch. He says, every 8 feet, you got to dig 3 feet down in a post hole digger. We come back. The guy's at the same hole. He dug the length of the post hole. He's laying on the ground and his arms. And he was tall. I remember he was tall. So there was a big pile of dirt. And so he was laying on the ground. And all of a sudden, my uncle gets bilingual. I didn't know he spoke Spanish. He started saying words I can't repeat. I thought I knew you're bilingual. But every 8 feet, we needed a column, a post. And in my life, it wasn't fear of failure. It was rejection. It was don't make a mistake. It was you're going to get in trouble, John. So that wall came up, fear of failure. I don't want to do it in case I fail. So there's walls. It was inaccessible to me. But God wants to show us the walls, not just to shame us, because he doesn't bring shame. Jesus paid for your shame. Conviction and condemnation are two different things. The church is confused about that. The Holy Spirit convicts. Satan condemns. It's very different. What you did is wrong. Satan says you're wrong. You're bad. You're evil. See, conviction and condemnation. So I had posts in my life that put up a wall. Didn't come home overnight. Then that wall made it inaccessible. But I talked about my friend, Fred. Remember Fred? Some of you were here. And I would pass his house, and there was a wall, and I could hear splashing, and I could hear swimming, and I could hear the pool, but I didn't know it was inaccessible to me at that time. And I was like, I want to go swimming over there. Well, all of a sudden, we have a mutual friend, just like the Holy Spirit, and he introduced me to Fred. So we show up at his house, and I had my swimming trunks under my pants. And like, hey, Fred, what do you want to do? And the next time we showed up, we had towels and our swimming trunks on, and we're like, hey, Fred, what do you want to do? But after a while, I started going over there without my friend. Because he introduced me. The Holy Spirit introduced you to the Son. And see, I didn't own the house. I didn't pay for the house. I didn't work for the house. It was the Father's house. But because I knew the Son, I had access to the house. And see, when you get, I was eating breakfast recently, and I was talking to the waiter. And, let me just say this. you can share the gospel so easy, and God wants to use you, and he wants to use your style. So I know it doesn't mean if you're quiet, it's going to be quiet or loud, but he has a certain personality. He didn't change people's personality. He sanctified people's personalities, but he didn't change it. Peter was different than John and Mark, and God wants to use you. And so I just started to just, he's like, what do you do? Well, that question is an open question, right? So I told him, I told him where I work, and I said, I told him I do missions. I told him, I tell people about Jesus. We get youth together, the presence of God. People cry. I said, God is real. I started witnessing to him while I'm telling him. And then he goes, you know what? I'm an architect. And he showed me on his phone. He showed me something very interesting. I told him, I'm going to use that in a sermon. There's this thing called a building circulation diagram. And he showed me this picture of something he's working on. And the building circulation diagram is this, how the architect intends or predicts how people will move through the spaces in and around the building. So he showed me a building, and he showed me two paths. One was a guest, and one was an owner. And the owner's path was in red. Friend, Jesus is in red. There's a scarlet cord, and he's in red, and he paid the price. And the owner's path was longer, and the owner's path went to many rooms. But the guest's path was very short. John, what are you saying? The things that God has for people, sometimes they walk in it like a guest. They don't stay where they should stay. They don't act like they have access to the room he's given access to. And when I was with Fred, there was no room that was off limits to us. We went in his dad's bedroom. We didn't know because we were just children. Now you're like, don't go in there. But we were just children. Let me tell you something. God wants to bring that childlike faith back into your life. Jesus said he called a little child to himself and set him in the center. God wants to call that childlike faith in your life. Set it in the center of your heart where that circulation, where he intended for you to walk, there's no room that's off limit to you. Healing, you have access to. Faith, you have access to. Hope, you have access to. You are not a guest, friend. Jesus did not pay for his life so you would walk through the Father's promises like a guest. You're not less than. Doesn't mean just because you don't preach, you're not less than. Just because you're a mom, you're not less than. And we compartmentalize, and I'm this type of pastor, I'm this type of ministry. But Jesus said, I paid the price. Look at the diagram I paid for. Follow the red path. There was two paths. One was red, one was blue. The blue path was short. The red path went everywhere. And when I was little, when I followed Fred, I went on the red path. I went on the son's path. We'd run by his dad, and he would just laugh. We'd go in his bedroom. His dad was even in his underwear. He was just, because we were little, he loved his son. He loved his son. Because he loved son, he gave me access. He made me sandwiches. He let me swim. And now what was inaccessible, now what was walled off, God says, call to me, and I will show you great and mighty things, not minor things, not little things, not little miracles. I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Friend, you do not know everything God has for you, but you can have a choice. You can sit at the gate. Grace and mercy, you're saved. Our faith and hope can give you strength, and you can walk in the diagram he's called you to walk in. There's a red path he has for you today. It's not the blue path. It's not the short path. Every room we walked in and out, we'd eat the food. I'd swim in the pool. I did everything just like Fred because I knew the son. It was his only son. It was the son of his old age. I remember that man was older. He loved his son. And because Fred loved me, he loved me. His dad never told me no once. No longer did I need to go and just hear the swimming. God does not want you just to hear promises and die there. He wants you to walk in every room he's given you access to. And the thing about those walls, those posts we put up, we would put concrete in them. And a lot of people don't know, concrete does not dry, it cures. And you think, oh, time will heal. No, friends, it's still curing. It's still getting stronger, but you can't see it. That unforgiveness, that rejection wasn't drying. It's not dry, it's curing. And those posts are set. There's things in our life that are curing. They're still curing. Oh, that was a long time ago. Friends, that post is still there. It's still curing. It's still getting stronger and stronger. It's at a microscopic level you cannot see. But Jesus comes along with the red path, and he bulldozes through. And I went through the front door, and Jesus is the door. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram, Abram's wife, and together they were set out of Ur from the Chaldeans. He didn't know what was in his family. He didn't know what Abram was called to do. You don't know the promises of God. He didn't know. He just thought Abraham was just another son. He didn't know that God was going to start a whole nation after him. He didn't know that the whole world was going to be blessed by him. You don't know. You get a word. You get a promise about a book, about a song. You don't know all the people that are affected by you. Because inside this room, I've said it and I believe it, there's thousands of people. Everybody you're called to touch, you carry. that it's just, you know, God's called you to write three books. You can't settle with just one. I'm saying what God's called to do, not what you. If he's called you to run for one political office, you cannot settle. Don't settle there. They were going to Canaan. We're going there. We're going to have the promises of God. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you for every place in our life that we want to settle there. I thank you for a stirring, a moving, a shifting, a shaking, a changing, a uncomfortability, a place of there. I thank you, Lord, we're going to walk into great places, amazing places, good places, but we're not going to settle there. We're going to settle with you, Jesus, that we're never going to be, it's not about being content or discontent. It's about just settling there. It's about coming to the place where I don't need to move. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to pray anymore. That man stood there. The first hour of prayer, nothing happened. The second hour of prayer, there he was. He was settled there. They put his blanket down and they set him down. He was settled there. He was settled at the gate. God, every person in here that is settled at the promises of God, I thank you, Jesus, for faith and hope to come in the room and to stir us again. Father, I thank you for showing us the diagram of our life. What was intended by the great architect for us, the path we were called to walk, the path that is in red. Jesus, your King, we want to follow you. He told the disciples, you're fishermen, just follow me. Learn from me. I'm meek and lowly. Father, I thank you for every column in our life that's put up the walls. I thank you for showing us. We forgive others and we forgive ourselves. Some of you need to forgive yourselves for things you've done. I thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness to flow from us and to us. From us and to us. Father, I thank you for my little friend Fred. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to introduce us to Jesus and to walk alongside him. I'm giving you someone just like me to walk alongside you and to show you the circulation diagram where you're called to walk. No room inaccessible. I thank you for healing to flow in this place right now, God. I thank you for pain to leave. I thank you that it's part of the children's bread, God, for healing. That, well, I prayed before. Well, that was the first hour. And I prayed again. That was the second hour. But you don't know. See, you don't know the last time you need to pray about something. I was praying for my dad's salvation for years. But then it was that last prayer, that one prayer, that he became saved. I just knew it in my heart. God says it's done. I didn't know it would take that long. I didn't know it was all those prayers. You don't know when it's the final. It was the final prayer of the day. He saw Peter and John, and he said, look at us. So I thank you, Lord. We're looking at faith today. We're looking at hope today, and we're taking its hand. And he grabbed the lame man's hand from birth, the man that never walked into the temple, the man that only saw other people go in, the man that heard the prayers, the man that heard the celebrations, the man that heard the sacrifices. You've heard the promises, and you've read the promises, and some of you know some of the promises. You don't know all the promises, and some of the promises, and you just heard it. It's just a sound. I heard them swimming in the pool. I heard the laughter. I heard the splashing. Promise keeper. He gives promises so he can see them come to pass in your life. Father, I thank you. It's never you, God. Every promise that we've seen fail in other people's lives, God, we take away the judgment of you. It was never you, God. You're not a liar. People sin. People make wrong choices. People don't walk in the fullness. People walk in a different building diagram than you've called them to walk. They've aligned themselves with the wrong people, and they've never fulfilled the destiny. But God, we establish it today. It's never you. Every word over this house, corporately and individually, God, we say it's on you. We put it back on you, the faithful one. And on Jesus was written, faithful and true. So I thank you, Jesus, you are faithful. You are true. You were the morning sacrifice. You were the evening sacrifice. You're the Passover lamb. You paid the price. It's wiped in red. It's not just a red line. It's wiped in blood. And there's a scarlet cord that runs from Genesis to Revelation. You were in every book of the Bible, Jesus. You appeared when even though men didn't know who you are, God. I thank you for being in our life. Even though we have not recognized you always in our past, God, but we say we want it all, God. We just don't want some of the promises. We don't want to hear about the promises. It's not enough just to hear. People hear the gospel and never respond. People hear the promises of God but never respond. So today, God, we stand up with faith. We stand up with hope. We stand up with mercy and grace. If you guys can just stand. Faith and hope to rise us today, to bring us today, to walk in the things you did. He was always sat, and then one day he stood. He stood. He stood, and he had strength, and he began to walk, and then he began to leap, and then he began to jump. So God, I thank you. We're not just going to walk in our promises. We're going to leap. There was great joy. He just didn't say, oh, I can walk. No, no, no. It's going to be great joy to write the check. It's going to be great joy to go on the airplane. It's going to be great joy to worship teams. He just didn't go, oh, now I'm walking to the temple. No, no, no. He had great joy, great passion, great. I thank you, Jesus, for great joy coming to this house, because people are going to begin to walk in things they've never walked in before, that we can't settle there. We will not settle there. Don't settle there. As good as there is, as great as there is, and they settled there. They never got to Canaan. I've read that story hundreds of times. I always thought God called Abram by himself. No, he called his whole family. He called his whole family there, but they had to die because they settled there. Every generational thing in you that's called you back, it must die so you can raise up, so you don't settle there. God, I rebuke in the name of Jesus every mentality, every thought that says it's good enough. It's good enough. It's good enough if we just get here. It's good enough if I just make that. It's good enough if I just have this type of marriage. It's good enough if I just have this type of healing. God, we don't want to settle there. No, it's never there, Jesus, because you're over there. You're with us walking. Follow me. Jesus just didn't sit. He walked. He went from this place to that place to the other place. Then he went to the cross. Then he went to the tomb. Now he's on the throne moving and moving. So God, open people's eyes to the diagram you have in their life of the red path. There's a red path. It's not short. It's not one of the guests. The orphan. You guys can sit down. I'm going to end with this. You ever been, Cammie Mullins is in here. I miss Cammie. More than people know. I give her a hard time, but I love Cammie. She's on the preaching team. We used to go to her house. I love going to Cammie's house. Even now where she's at, I love her because I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable. You ever go into someone's house and you just sit on the plastic? You know? Walk in with a tarp. People treat their Christianity like that. No land you're called to just settle there. Settling is very different than occupying. There's places he's called you to occupy, possess, have authority over. That's different than just settling. Some of you are called to have other homes and you're just settled there because I can afford it. I'm not talking about just material things. But if he's called you to another place, it's because he wants to reach different people. Some of the people in the kingdom, God wants to bless with finances, so he has authority. They have authority to speak to those people with money. That's occupying. That's not settling. So, God, I thank you. We're not settlers. We're occupiers for your kingdom in Jesus' name. So be expecting the walls to break down. Be expecting the posts to be pulled out. Be expecting to walk in the good things of God. Be expecting to get strength where you were lame and things you never walked into moving. But when you do, don't settle there. He jumped, he leaped, and he walked, praising God, and so shall we. So, Father, I thank you for today. And we're going to walk in the promises. We're going to give your Son glory, who paid the price, who was the ultimate sacrifice, the day, the evening, and the Passover lamb. And I thank you for all the things coming to this church, God. And we're not settlers. No matter how many people or young people or generations or trailers or countries or money or sermons or books or missions or political offices, all generations, God, we will not settle there. Not just with the elderly or with the young or the middle-aged. God, we want it all. Because, Jesus, you paid for it all. Open our eyes to the diagram. You